We've got an update on new and current development all across downtown Jacksonville. Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are always live at 9. Also, make sure to get our podcast on iTunes or through the WJCT app. Just ahead, from the new downtown amphitheater to the shipyards, the Lore Street Trio, and more, we want your calls on the urban core as we speak with the Downtown Investment Authority leaders. Give us a call now, 549-2937. Then later, Generation Works is this weekend. Founder Donna Orender will give us a preview. And also, don't miss our conversation with travel blogger Judy Wells. All of that ahead. But first this hour, from the shipyards to the landing, Metropolitan Park, the Lore Street Trio. Lots of questions, lots of activity in downtown Jacksonville. There have also been concerns recently about safety in the urban core. Right now, we're going to take a look ahead to everything that is planned for 2017 as we welcome Andre Wallace, Executive Director, and Jim Bailey, Board Chair of Jacksonville's Downtown Investment Authority. Guys, so good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Sure thing. And what are your questions for the heads of the Downtown Investment Authority? What are your thoughts and comments about how to grow Jacksonville's urban core? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect and email us tweets to @MelissaInJax. Weigh in on our Facebook page. Andre Wallace, let's begin with you. From the shipyards to the district development on the South Bank, what's going on at Metropolitan Park, the Jacksonville Landing, the new Daly's Place Amphitheater, there's a lot on the plate for 2017 when it comes to downtown Jacksonville. But in particular, I wanted to begin by asking you, the Downtown Investment Authority is taking up an agenda item this week with regard to the Lore Street Trio. That's the trio of downtown historic buildings. What's going to be happening? What can you share with our listeners?
Certainly. Tomorrow, 9 a.m., we're presenting to the board an incentive package to move the development of the Barnett Bank Building as well as the Lore Street Trio forward. Mm-hmm. The project is totally about a $79 million project itself. We have a public incentive on the table of about $9.8 million, as well as a master lease for the actual parking garage. So that'll be under consideration by the board tomorrow itself.
And what are your hopes for this property? It's languished for many years. Can this be something that is finally going to turn the corner for these buildings?
I certainly believe so. I'm cautiously optimistic, or I would not be bringing it to the board at this particular point in time. From the development side, the Mulaski Companies out of Las Vegas has partnered with Southeast Group here, here in Jacksonville. The Mulaski Companies is in the process of closing and purchasing the Barnett Building from Stash Investments itself. They've already wire transferred the funds to their escrow account. So by the middle of February, they will have already closed on the actual building. So feel very comfortable with the development team that's in place.
And if you're just tuning in as we speak with Jim Bailey, Andre Wallace of the Downtown Investment Authority, give us a call, 549-2937. Jim Bailey, you made news recently as publisher of the Financial News and Daily Record, selling your business, which of course has been downtown for over a century. What do you see as the biggest priorities for the DIA this year? There are a lot of projects we can talk about, but what do you think? Is there one in particular that you think is particularly critical for the urban core?
Well, I think it's important that everybody understand what we're trying to do. I had someone sitting next to me in a meeting, and they said, why do we not see cranes in the air like other cities? And I said, that's a good thing. Cranes in the air mean you're too late. When they're not in the air yet, we've got a lot of opportunity, a lot of investments. We've seen what has gone on in other places, and I think this is the year for downtown. We have.
What do you mean other places? Which other places?
Oh, anywhere. In South Florida, and Greenville, Charleston, all these places have done the things that we've been trying to do. We had a lot of cars in the ditches, and we've been pulling these cars out trying to get this straight. And it takes time to do that. We have a huge responsibility with taxpayers' dollars.
Sure. And the DIA is partially privately funded, partially publicly funded. Andre Wallace, let me ask you your thoughts about some other projects that we're following closely, the development plan for the shipyards and the area around Everbank Field, right here around the WJCT building. your thoughts about everything that's going on with that and how that factors into your overall vision for the urban core.
Certainly, with the amphitheater and practice fields being under construction right now, and the amphitheater being concluded and being open in May, that is definitely going to be a destination opportunity for the actual whole sports entertainment complex area itself. Then couple that with the fact that we have an actual notice of disposition, or people can call an RFP, that's on the street right now for 70 acres of waterfront property, which includes the 45 acres of shipyards as well as the 25 acres of property in and around Met Park. Those responses are due on March 8th. We're going to definitely know what those particular developers will be seeking and proposing to us, and understanding how that blends in with the actual work that's already going on. Right now we have Intuition, we've got Manifest Distillery, there's other plans for the Doral Fixtures building. The sports complex area is turning out to be a very good potential entertainment district for us here in Jacksonville.
And across the river, the district project on the South Bank that developer Peter Rummel is working on, that's part of downtown too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How excited are you guys about that?
It's all exciting. I mean, you've mentioned several home runs. There are a lot of singles and doubles going on out there, and all of them count. So, but the district's exciting. Everybody's moving forward. When you have a city, when people see a city with that many acres on both sides of the river downtown, it's exciting.
Now, Brooklyn, which is just west of downtown, do you consider that part of your footprint, or everything that's going on in that part of town? Lots of development there too.
Yes, most certainly. Brooklyn is part of our downtown, and we just most recently approved in December, we approved an investment for an additional 295 units of residential apartments right next to 220 Riverside. So that particular project is a $68 million project. So we're continuing the movement, the development movement in the Brooklyn area.
So it sounds as though you're very positive for 2017. You mentioned a minute ago, Jim Bailey, that there were a lot of cars in the ditch. What cars are still in the ditch as you look at this overall vision for really growing the urban core?
I think it's educating folks and understanding why downtown is important. It used to be 13-14% of our tax base. It's about 3% of our tax base. It's not anyone's fault. It's just over time you create these issues that have to be resolved. And the perception is that why are we spending money downtown? There's a tremendous opportunity. Downtown belongs to everyone. And there's a tremendous opportunity with housing and developments all over this city. You mentioned Brooklyn. Brooklyn is extremely successful, going great. Our district goes all the way over to 95. But following that, La Villa is moving quickly. We've got probably 400 units being developed in Brooklyn right now.
Right. And Andre Wallace, you have experience in other cities turning downtowns around. You've been through this before. Do you see Jacksonville playing out like other cities in terms of revitalizing their city center, or are there unique challenges here?
No different challenges than any challenges I had in Miami or challenges that I had in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have a very good investment strategy that we're following. Think about it. You did a complete demolition of La Villa probably in the 90s, and nothing has actually taken place since then.
Right.
Think about it right now. We've got two developments with Vestcor on the books. We've got another project with Beneficial Communities to do senior housing. You have JTA going to be breaking ground on their regional transportation center itself. You have basically five blocks of property, which comprises 7 acres in and around that Jacksonville Regional Transportation Center, that we're working on a development strategy for that particular neighborhood. Mm-hmm. None of this took place beforehand. The discussion didn't even take place. So now we're having the conversation, and not just talking, we're putting shovels in the actual ground, and dirt is moving for development. So it's playing out just as it has in other particular cities. People will say, well, this has been a long time coming. I can't do anything about that. Market forces are what they are. And when there's a lot of cranes other places and you're seeing a slowdown, that's an opportunity for capital to be moved from that location, that city, to an area where there's plenty of opportunities. And Jacksonville has plenty of opportunities for investment.
And we've got lots of calls for Andre Wallace, who heads up the Downtown Investment Authority. Alongside with him this morning, Board Chair Jim Bailey. We want your calls right now, because I know a lot of you care a lot about the urban core. This is always a hot topic on the show. It's 549-2937. Let's start with Tracy in Mandarin. Hi, Tracy. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning. So that's a good idea. I tell you, I go to Chicago so many times for last 20 years just to walk around in downtown. There is a life, there is a fun, there is a safety. Whosoever have built town center, maybe they think about it. Town center is a good feeling. And we need a lot of good restaurant and safety in downtown. Somebody must go to Chicago. One of the best downtown in the world is Chicago downtown. And safety, 2 a.m, I can walk there. Thank you very much. Good idea, whatever you are doing. And Jaguars can bring life in downtown if there is good restaurant, safety. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks, Tracy. Yeah, I would agree with her. I love Chicago. I used to live there, a world-class city. We're not as big as Chicago, but when you look at larger cities, what sorts of lessons can we learn, Jim? And also, I think she mentioned safety. What would you say to those who've been very shaken by the recent shooting incidents downtown?
Melissa, it's hard to when these kind of things happen. To me, it's like a lightning strike. It's like getting attacked by a shark. I mean, things are going to happen, but there's not anything you can really do to prevent them. So I don't think it changes downtown. It's unfortunate that it does occur, but we can't change our strategy. Everybody's alert. Everybody's on the same page. But we got to continue moving forward. And I'm happy to see the relationship with Art Walk and the Sheriff's Office and everyone trying to continue to move forward. But we've been through tragedies before in other places, and you don't change your strategy. So
yeah. Dennis at the beaches. Hey, Dennis. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. When is the city going to get off their butts and move the jail out of the core? That place is just, it's a drag on that whole region down there. You got people being released in the middle of the night who are less than desirable, obviously, and they're right next door to multi-million dollar condos. That just doesn't make any sense to me. They should be putting that thing out in the northwest corner there near the, what they call a peanut farm, I guess, and let that land get back to being used for something positive instead of being an eyesore in the community.
Thanks, Dennis.
That's
and, you know,
thank you,
Dennis. And not just the jail. What about the old courthouse, which is down the street? What about the school board building on the South Bank? Whenever we talk about downtown development, we get at least one call like that, Andre, that these government buildings are sitting on such prime waterfront property. And how big of an impediment do you think that is?
Let's go back in time, Melissa, when Jacksonville was converting itself from a shipyards town and really no development was taking place in downtown. And so our local government decided that in order to have development, we were going to move the public offices for government to downtown and to the actual riverfront itself. So that was the thought process at that particular point in time.
Right.
It was the right thing to do. Now, at this particular point in time, we recognize that in terms of in this development cycle, moving forward, is the jail an impediment? You can consider it. Well, consider it so. The jail is a little outdated, and there are the conversations with regards to what's next for the actual jail itself, and that'll continue to play out with the actual administration. Old City Hall, old courthouse, those are some assets that we'll begin to turn our attention to after we address the proposals that come in with regards to the shipyards in Metropolitan Park.
But it is in your sights to eventually demolish those old buildings, put in some new development.
It is definitely in our sights with regards to the disposition of that property and for development. I certainly believe that once the parking lot that's out back of the old courthouse comes down, the value of those particular parcels are going to be such much more higher today, will be more higher than they are today, then you'll be seeing more individuals want to come forward and develop it, and they may be able to take on the risk of demolishing the buildings.
And what about the school board building on the South Bank? It's right next to this new district development that's going, and I'm sure developers would love that parcel too. Is that in the plans?
Oh, yeah, that's already part of that development project over there, so there will be a disposition or a transition of that property at some point. So.
At some point. Okay. Richard is downtown. Hey, Richard, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I want to just say that a lot of downtown thoughts or what the perception of the rest of the citizens are, I do believe these two gentlemen are certainly on the right track. But dealing with two issues that the perception is very negative about, one being the landing and the other Hemming Plaza, what are the plans for turning those around?
The landing and Hemming Plaza, okay. Two very important pieces, two important nodes in the puzzle pieces that you guys are looking at.
Let me address the landing first. The landing is a project that has been around since the mid-80s itself. Yes, it is a dated project. And there has to be a development strategy for it at some particular point in time. But presently, we are in litigation with the owner of the actual landing. So there's not much more that I can really address on that. That's one. Two, we also have to be knowledgeable of the fact that he has almost 40 years left on the existing lease.
So what I hear you saying is as long as Tony Slaman owns the landing, there's only so much that can be done?
That is true.
And so what about you, Jim?
Well, yeah, as long as Tony owns it and has the right to do what he wants to with it. But I think Tony's best interest is to work with the city and try to develop something that works for everybody.
But for so many years now, we've just seen this perpetual exasperation with the landing not quite being what it was originally envisioned. And you know, the caller also mentioned Hemming Park. Friends of Hemming Park came in, tried to do a public-private partnership. The city took control back of Hemming Park. What are your thoughts about what to do with the park in front of City Hall?
Well, one thing about the landing, I want you to remember, Tony bought that landing when nobody else would. He's uh-huh. one of the largest property owners in this city, property taxpayers in this city. So he did the city a favor at the time, but there's still issues with it, and everybody has to agree on what happens there. The Hemming Park, Hemming Plaza, whatever you want to call it, is the front door of our city hall. It's the back door of some of our developments. It's critical to downtown. To me, you can't just take one park and fix it when you have several parks in downtown. You need to address them as an urban park system. The North Bank Riverwalk and South Bank Riverwalk are parks. So we need to create something that when we address it, we've addressed it for all of them and we're not dealing with each one independently. And I think we've come a long way with it. We went through the process to determine whether we want an active, lively park or do we want it a passive park. But it's going to cost dollars to do it either way. So we just have to establish what that is we're going to do, and we'll make it work.
Tom is in Ponte Vedra. Lots of calls as we welcome the executive director and the board chair of the DIA. That's the Downtown Investment Authority for Jacksonville. Hey, Tom. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just 2 points. Number one, I work downtown and have for 20 years. I do not feel safe down there. Case in point, about 4 years ago, my wife and I were actually mugged in daylight on the way to the symphony. So I don't have a lot of faith in the safety of downtown. Number two, for the last 20 years, I have urged City Council and the Investment Authority if they would just take a look at the city of Cincinnati and how they have developed their riverfront, especially the restaurants on the south bank of Cincinnati, which would be the Kentucky side. Really a beautiful, beautiful riverfront and taking advantage of the skyline of the city of Cincinnati. The same could be done in Jacksonville. For 20 years, I have suggested this off and on. Nothing has been done downtown. I see downtown as just deteriorating constantly. I'll take your comments off the air.
Thanks, Tom. It's funny. I used to live there, too. I remember Cincinnati very well, and I have followed the development there, guys, in recent years. What has been remarkable to see in Cincinnati is this really strong business consortium, which is not unlike what you guys are working on, partnering with the city to bring back neighborhoods in Cincinnati that I quite frankly would have never in a million years thought could be what they are today, in particular over the Rhine, which is a neighborhood in Cincinnati. So how can we learn lessons from a success story like what the caller mentioned?
Tom, thank you. We all agree. But as Andre said, years ago, things were built on the river and we pushed people back from the river for development. And we had city government buildings. Those have to be removed and give us the opportunity to do some of those things so we can embrace the river, which I think is important to every citizen in Jacksonville. Once the parking lot is taken out, it gives us another opportunity for some development along next to the Hyatt and where the courthouse is and all, where we have an inlet, a cove in there, almost like a little marina. Jacksonville's unique in that the river narrows right in our downtown, and it's the strongest current in the river. It runs about 7 knots out there, and it's difficult to dock boats at River City Brewing and so on. But I think the removal of that parking lot is going to change the way people look at our river in downtown and give us some more opportunity. We've had conversations about river boats, dinner cruise boats at this point until we can build something to get people out on the river. But we're aware of it. We know it. And I think you're right. It's something that we need to do. But they've got to be more than just a destination alone. It's got to be self-contained where you can go to several places. And that's what creates that safety and helps with your safety concerns.
Andre, what about Cincinnati? I mean, and what about his call, his comment that he doesn't feel safe downtown? You know, just thinking about this, too, you know, Cincinnati is a city that has development on both sides, just like this city. And they have the additional challenge of on the south side, it's another state. It's the Kentucky side. But somehow they've managed to bring all the stakeholders together in a way to see some actual really dramatic improvements. So what about his feedback?
Where Cincinnati was then is where we are now in terms of you have to start from somewhere. It was not perfect at some particular point in time, and neither are we professing to be perfect here, neither. But what we are saying is that when you see the ability for 30 acres of property at the district being available for development and has an actual plan that's been already approved through design review, currently working on the redevelopment agreement, you've got another 70 acres of property for which you're seeking development opportunities for the development community that'll be due in on March 8th. And then you have the TU building and office tower and publication printing building equal as well, another 18 acres of property. Cincinnati, none of those particular cities can say they have this much riverfront, waterfront property available for development all continuously at one particular point in time.
Right.
And we need to capitalize on that at this particular point in time, and that's what we're attempting to do.
Ron in Bay Meadows. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a resident of Jacksonville for 5 years. I've been downtown maybe 3 times. I'm really disappointed in the leadership and the folks who are involved in the development because it seems like a real hodgepodge. Where do you find the master plan for what is envisioned long term? That's my first question. Here's another comment. I come from Alexandria, Virginia. They have a waterfront, the Potomac River. They decided they wanted to develop the old town area. They tore down the old jail, and they put up some expensive townhouses. They totally transformed that city. Before I was in Jacksonville, I came from St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg, Florida, is doing it correctly. You guys need to go over to St. Petersburg and see what's happening over there. They have the bay. So I'm still not clear as to what I hear. This is going on here. This is going on there. Where is the whole vision for this city taking advantage of the riverfront and getting rid of that eyesore of a jail and some other eyesores downtown?
Okay, yeah. And that second question about the jail, here's a tweet for you, too. We have eminent domain. Take the remaining land and lease away from Tony Slaman. And lots of tweets still coming in about the Laura Street Trio, the courthouse, the annex. So many questions. Jim Bailey.
Ron, to answer your question about the vision, long-term vision, we have always had a Jacksonville Economic Development Commission. We've always had a strong mayoral form of government since consolidation. We've got a city council. The downtown Downtown Development Authority was created for this purpose, to wake up every day and look at downtown and create that vision and move forward. We're 3 years old. It took us a while to get our feet on the ground and understand what our inventory is like, from parking to empty buildings and so on. So we're taking many, many years in trying to compress it and develop that plan. I think it's probably far exceeded my expectations, and I've been on it for 3 years. So I think we're moving in the right direction, and I think getting that support from the administration, from the mayor's office, from the council is very important, that we're all as a team working together.
To piggyback on that, Melissa, if Ron were to go to COJ.net and look for the Downtown Investment Authority, he will find the business and investment plan for downtown, which talks about everything from a development aspect. We are just now received proposals last week that will find a consultant that will work with us on riverfront design guidelines and standards, and talk about some of the underutilized and underperforming publicly controlled assets equally as well along the actual riverfront itself. So as I indicated before, cities such as Cincinnati then had somewhere to start, and we're starting here equally as well.
So what do you see? What is your timetable for the kinds of improvements that you're hoping to see?
Listen, if we get this redevelopment agreement going and get it approved this first quarter or second quarter of this year for the district, you begin to see development take place there. We get a proposal that we can all agree upon for the 70 acres along the actual shipyard. And then when you start seeing movement along there, then people's perceptions will begin to change, because you begin to say things are happening.
Vertical construction.
However, sure, the actual number of years that it's taken us on the pre-development side that you don't see, but we have to put everything in place, you will begin to see the fruits of that particular labor for the last 3+ years.
Speaking of the shipyards, what about the Berkman Tower right next to it that some have called the Beirut Berkman? You know,
sure.
It's half built. What about that piece?
That particular property has gone through a rezoning, approved at the last city council meeting. So now we've taken away the prohibitive use. When I say prohibitive, it was only zoned for PUD, which was residential. Now it has the most flexibility except for light industrial. So there is an entity that has a contract on the actual property with Choke Construction. Hopefully they will be able to come up with a development strategy that we will work with them on to transform that particular site into something other than what it is right now.
David on the south side. We have calls from all over. Hey, David. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Melissa. How you doing?
Doing well.
I'd just like to make some positive comments about downtown. You know, yes, it does need some improvement. Yes, it does need some updating. Jacksonville, Florida is a beautiful town. I've visited just about every major metropolitan area in our country, and I can tell you, downtown areas, many, almost all of them go through this. We live in a great community. I mean, where can you take a boat to downtown? We have a river that runs right through the middle of it. We have beaches not 10 miles away. You know, we have a major metropolitan area in a utopia. A lot of attractions to go other than downtown. I think it's good that we have a master plan going forward. But, you know, all the negative comments about downtown is kind of discouraging, Melissa. This is our town, and I for one, am very proud to live in Jacksonville, Florida. And that's all I'd like to say.
All right, David. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I've been in downtown in Jacksonville all my life, 63 years. I'm third generation, and it is important to me. And I think you're right. There are a lot of positive things, but those positive things are competition. A lot of these cities we talk about don't have a beach 12 miles away. If you may have a river running through the middle of it, but you also have a limited season because you have heavy winters. We have a wonderful climate. So, you know, when you're developing these things, you do have an awful lot of competition. But many of the things we've talked about, I think, are going to change when you see the development of the shipyards and waterfront property downtown. That's going to help with the jail. That's going to help Tony Slaman develop his landing. He didn't want to be the pioneer that started something and end up things not changing. So we're changing that perception, and I think people are going to see some of the things change that we couldn't see change in the past.
Jeff in Riverside. Hey, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was calling to echo some of the comments, of course, about the jail. Friends and I usually walk from the stadium to downtown after the games, and oftentimes people won't come with us because of that. But my specific question was in regards to the Baptist Church downtown and how the church has been affecting the continuing development, if that's still a thing that's been presented as an issue as it was in the past. And I'll take my comments off there. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Sure. Jeff, I would say that First Baptist has not been an impediment to development, none whatsoever. You know, I'm not going to beat this horse this much, but it is really get down to it in terms of development. It's a return on investment. Can you get the return on investment that you're seeking as a developer to undertake that project? And what's the role of the public sector to assist you in doing just that? And so that is the challenge that you have in any marketplace. I've gone through this from not seeing any development take place in downtown Miami to a lot of development, to seeing no development in Detroit when I get there, to a lot of development in downtown and midtown. We're going through the same exact things. I'm not nervous, none whatsoever. Seeing this in two other cities, mm-hmm. and understand exactly where we are, and you continue to push forward, and the development opportunities come in waves. And when it's your time at the top of that wave, ride it, get what you need to get done, and keep your planning efforts for when the opportunities decrease for you, so that when the wave comes back, you continue to get things done.
It's interesting, though. We whenever we talk about this, we get at least one call with someone who has that perception that a big evangelical church being downtown with a lot of square footage and an ordinance that says you can't sell alcohol within a certain number of square feet from a church property, that has impeded things.
That's not true.
Yeah,
that is not true. And I don't know where that comes from. They may own a lot of property downtown, but they have always, always been helpful. They listen to the concerns. They talk about it. But I just don't see that. I've approached them a couple of times, and every time it was, you know, it may not be what we would prefer, but it makes sense. And how can we help?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Carrie up in Georgia. Carrie in Marietta.
Good morning, guys. How are you all this morning?
All right, thanks.
Hey, listen, as a former resident of Jacksonville, we moved out of there 18 years ago on a business transfer and have looked at it and watched the city over the last 18 years. I got to tell you that I'm very encouraged with the foresight that these guys have, especially Jim, the devotion that he has to the city of Jacksonville, to his business, to his employees, to just the concept down there is very encouraging to people that may be looking to move back into that area. And I just want to throw a couple of kudos out there this morning and say, I think the city needs more people with the passion that these two guys have for helping the city get, you know, move forward. And, you know, that's basically my two cents worth this morning.
Okay. A vote of confidence for both of you. Thanks for that call, Carrie. So as you said, when we began on the agenda this week, the Laura Street Trio, and a lot more.
Absolutely. And so we look forward to getting that project hopefully approved tomorrow and beginning to start seeing development take place at all four of those particular buildings.
Thank you both so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Andre Wallace heads up the Downtown Investment Authority, Jim Bailey, the board chair, both joining us to talk about all the projects happening in the city's urban core. Much more still ahead later, travel blogger Judy Wells. But up next, how you can be part of the third annual Generation Works. That's next.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Most of the clothing sold in the United States is imported. So if you slap a tariff or a border adjustment tax on them, if you want to get fancy, well,
the price is going to go up, and we have to pass it to consumers, and a lot of people, they're not happy about it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Trade Policy and the Fashion Police, next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
On February 14th, the full Jacksonville City Council is expected to take up a controversial change to the city's human rights ordinance. Join WJCT for a live, interactive, televised discussion on February 8th as a panel explores the division over the expansion of Jacksonville's human rights ordinance protections for the LGBT community. Log on to wjct.org/events/community-thread to submit your questions or to RSVP to be part of our studio audience on February 8th. Community Thread, LGBT rights on the First Coast.
Independent music transcends genre, form, and age. At Indie Endeavor, we endeavor to shine a light in the little explored dark corners of your musical imagination. Everything from new to old, foreign to domestic, electronic to acoustic, we play it all. Indie Endeavor, Tuesdays at 11 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT.
Well, it's a citywide community service project, and you have your pick of nearly 20 different sites to be part of this. Really exciting. The third annual Generation Works is coming up this weekend. Founder Donna Orender is here with a preview, along with Michelle Cook, honorary chair. She's director of patrol and enforcement with the JSO. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. I just want to say one quick thing. You just said this is a citywide service project. Mm-hmm. I actually think you and this show is a citywide service project. So excited about coming here. The work that you do.
Finally, somebody said it. No, I'm just
every
kidding.
I listen every morning when I'm in town, and I just feel connected to everybody and everything, and I always admire your questions, your research.
Thanks.
I just want to say thank you. I always feel more informed, and I'm glad to be part of the community, so thank you. And
thank
here,
you.
Of course, with Michelle Cook,
yeah,
director of the JSO. I love the JSO. Talk about great community service work.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you'll be part of this. The mayor's wife, First Lady Molly Curry,
yes, ma'am,
is another honorary chair. Now, this is coming up. This is the third year in a row, Donna, you've done this. A dedicated day of service led by women and girls. Men and boys are welcome to bring sustainable change to neighborhoods all over the city.
Yes, it's women wielding weapons of mass construction. We love that. And it's really, Deutsche Bank has gotten behind this. Leslie Slover, her team, Jessica. It's an amazing, and they bring a huge contingent because they're all about building community, not only within their company, but certainly expanding outward. And it's just really, really special. We started out, with 200 and something. We're over 500 volunteers who come from all over the city connecting with our not-for-profit agencies.
Right. And so, Michelle, when people come out this weekend, everything will start at Unity Plaza, and then everyone will fan out to different project sites. What are some of the projects that people can be part of? There's a wide variety, it looks like.
Yeah, there's 18 different project sites. You can help clean up parks. You can paint one of the homeless shelters is a site. You can help paint the walls in there and just do some general cleanup and fix up of our great city.
Yeah, and you can even do a letter writing campaign for veterans and servicemen and women. You can do everything from landscaping to cleaning up a local school. You can help remodel the Rethreaded Warehouse, which is a great local nonprofit. I mean,
you can help feed, right? We have, in terms of feeding the poor, we have our
feeding Northeast Florida.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
You can sort and pack food at their warehouse. I mean, whatever you choose, you can give back in some way.
Right. And we love that the fact that our Generation Wow girls come in, because often people want to come with their kids. And we really believe this intergenerational connection about service, about connecting to something larger than yourself. And so we're really excited. We're going to be working with Jasmine this year as well. Mm-hmm. And that's such a great organization. And Interline is such a big part of it, and CIT and Wells Fargo, with Dave Difference, Paul Davis Restoration. I have to say these companies. And of course, Michelle Braun at United Way is always asking us to live united. And, that's what we want to do.
Now, Donna, you conceived this as an outgrowth of your annual Women's Leadership Conference, Generation W, Generation WOW is helping to grow young female leaders. Generation Works is bringing everyone together for service. So how else are you going to be spreading your incredible energy throughout this community? Because I wait to see what's next.
You know, it's not me. It's really not. Like, I'm sitting next to one of the great women in our city, in our community, in our state, Michelle Cook. And honestly, it's the work done by great people that is inspiring. And we have a great project that we're going to be working on in terms of, and we can talk a little bit about that over the next couple of months.
Yeah, the Women in Law Enforcement Project. We are working closely with Donna and her group to inspire and educate women about the ultimate social work, which is law enforcement. So we're really excited about some things that we have coming up.
What do you have planned?
We'll have to come back.
Leaving us hanging.
Well, here's one thing that...
I would like to say, and Donna alluded to this, policing is the ultimate social work. And this day of service for women and girls, it is amazing the feeling that you get when you can truly help somebody or help a company that's in need. You mentioned Rethreaded and Sulzbacher and some of the work sites that the volunteers will be going out to. And I think, if we have over almost 1 million people in the city, 800,000 people, and if everybody just donated a day of public service, the changes and the things that we could do in the city would be amazing. And so I hope this is year three, but I hope this is the beginning of many years. And every year we double the amount of volunteers that we have come out and help in our own community.
And it's not too late for people to come and be part of this.
And you're going to tell me how, but I just also want to mention that George Maxey from the Newtown Success Zone is also one of our honorary chairs. He is an amazing man doing amazing work. And this is about the integration. It's women's leadership, but honestly, it's about building community with men and women working side by side. And speaking of one of the greatest men of all time, if I just could say this quote, I usually don't do this, but it just moves me every time. It's Martin Luther King Jr. And he says, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve, and you don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love.
Very nice.
That's nice.
So to embody that spirit, you want people to sign up now for Generation Works. They can go to genwnow.com and just look at all the projects, right? Or they can even register right on site this weekend at Unity Plaza, it looks like, as well.
You can. It's better for the organizationally, than we know how many people are going where. And, you know, to the great team at home, Siobhan, Sarah, and Kasha, who are working there. Literal proverbial behinds off to make this great because we really value people's time. So the experience spent, we want it to be very special for all of us.
Yeah, and I would like to encourage, I know most of the work sites have an age limit, but if you go on the website, you can look at the different sites and the age limit. I'd like to encourage people to bring their kids out and let's get into the habit of public service and start our kids young and let them learn the value of getting involved.
Here's a tweet for you. I'm public school proud, and Interline Brands will be helping Grasp Academy this weekend. My family will be volunteering, so lots of interest.
Oh, that's great. That reminds me, on the phone here with Rachel Vitti, who, as you know, is like the soul of Grasp, and we have been working with them all 3 years. That's special, to bring that kind of services to the special kids in our community is outstanding. And she's now becoming a national expert, a resource. She's, another special leadership woman who's doing great work here.
Just go to genwnow.com and be part of this weekend's Generation Works, a day of service across the city. Donna Orender and Michelle Cook with the JSO. Thank you both so much for all you do. And have fun this weekend.
Hey, Melissa, we will. And, in the past, you've brought your girls. We want to thank you for participating.
Yes, they have. And I think WJCT, I'm not sure. Let me check on whether we have a team this year. I think we do. But it's genwnow.com. And we'll be right back.
I'm Joshua Johnson. On the next 1A...
This administration has hit the ground running. Everybody's talking about it.
Have you already made up your mind about President Trump? What would it take to change your mind? We know the nation is sharply divided, but who is willing to give Trump a chance to be a good president? And if not, why not? That's next time on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Unlock your newest member benefit. Over 1,000 episodes of your favorite PBS shows. American Masters. Antiques Roadshow. Nature. Nova. Masterpiece. Watch the best of PBS anytime, anywhere. Become a member. Sign in and start streaming today.
WJCT.org/passport.
Welcome back. Finally, this hour, Judy Wells is spreading the news. She's just back from New York, where two huge travel shows took place. Judy, how was the Big Apple?
Big.
Yes.
Cold.
Cold.
Not as cold as it has been, but cold. And just, I'm still on information overload.
Oh, really? So you went to, let's see, the Travel Media International Show and the New York Times Travel Show.
Oh, yes. The New York Times Travel Show is the largest and longest running consumer and professional travel exhibit in North America.
Uh-huh.
And you had over 500 exhibitors, 150 exhibitors from 500 countries. It was just amazing. And the best part for me were the seminars put on by the CEOs and the people who run the travel industry.
Sure.
For us.
And they tell you, okay, here are the big trends for the new year. Here are the hot spots.
They don't say that, but you pick them up by going from one seminar to the other, and my feet are still sore from racing from one place to another. The Javits Center is huge. Anyway, the number one trend today, do it, go now.
What does
Consider
that mean?
Consider staying longer, too. The dollar is stronger against other world currencies than it has been in a decade, which means you will get 20% more for your money in Asia, 30% more in Canada, 33% more in Japan. The euro and the British pound are close to par with the dollar, as close as they've ever been. And thanks to Brexit, American travelers to Great Britain are now bringing extra suitcases to put their purchases in.
Oh, really?
Yes. In Switzerland, it's 50% cheaper to go than it was 10 years ago.
50%?
Yes. As one panelist said, the cost of breakfast that morning at his Manhattan hotel, he could have bought two lunches in Brussels.
Man. So
even the Parisians are glad to see us. Their tourism's down 30%.
That's unprecedented. They don't want us ugly Americans there.
Now, on the water.
This is incredible.
Yeah. Three-quarters of our Earth is water, which means there are a lot of places to put a ship, which is an incredible platform for transportation. Still, all the cabins on all the ships in the world account for less than 2% of hotel rooms. 7% is the maximum rate of growth the industry can possibly do, which means 50% of those people who are on a cruise have never been on one before. They're all first-timers.
Wow. So this is the year to take advantage of all of this go somewhere.
It is. And a little-known reality, river, barge, and ocean cruise lines want their competitors' cabins to be fully occupied, too. Because if not, the prices start dropping and they start losing profits.
Sure.
On land, Europe is still the number one offshore destination for Americans. And if you're one of many looking for, something off the usual grand tour route, TrendSpotters suggest Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, and Serbia as countries to try.
Why?
Unique customs, folk dances and costumes, medieval towns, castles, walled cities, palaces, great food, wines, festivals, scenery, and genuine welcomes. All are now serviced by major airlines, and they're safe.
And probably less expensive, too, right?
Less expensive, exactly.
Sure.
South Africa is another trendy locale. Safari's the prime motivator. The Big Five, lion, leopard, elephant, cape buffalo, and rhinos abound in Kruger Park. I've been there, and I know you. The first 2 hours out, I saw four of the big five.
Is there any, I'm guessing the only place you haven't been is maybe Antarctica.
That's on my list.
I know, of course it is. You're Judy Wells. Of course it's on your list.
And, you know, the Kruger Park is about the size of New Jersey. That's a lot of room for the animals. Plus, they have great wine. It's been going on over there longer than California's. And their airline, South African Airways, celebrates Ghana's 60th year of independence with round trip from Dulles to Accra for $679.
Man.
Now, good thing about South African Airways, which is one of my favorite airlines, is in coach, their pitch is still 32 to 33 inches, which means you get more leg room.
So that's almost like United Arab Emirates style flying.
Yes,
isn't
it is.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And if you've ever wanted to see the Northern Lights, this is the year to do it, 2017. It's the Northern Lights go on a 10-year cycle because of the sun activity on the sun. And this is the last of the 10-year cycle. If you don't make it this year, wait 10 years.
All right.
You may not be around.
So
getting there is cheaper, too.
This is the year to travel. Judy Wells has said it, so it is so.
No, everybody else has told me.
Go to wellsworld.net for all your travel information and to learn all about the fabulous world of Judy Wells. And thanks for this Empire State Building pin, by the way.
Had cocktails there on the 80th floor. It was lovely.
I bet it was.
And then ran from there to the South African consulate to do watch a program on Johannesburg.
Of course you did.
Yeah. I don't exactly.
Where are you going now?
Home.
for like a day. And then she's off again. But she likes to stop in with us, which is always fun. Again, that website, wellsworld.net. That's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Mershart. Michelle Corum runs the board. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. Never miss a show. You can get our podcast by subscribing to it on iTunes or just listen through the WJCT app. Next on 1A, a look at how big a role Steve Bannon is playing in the new Trump administration. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.